Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily. Joe Giglio with you. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. Of course, our YouTube page here, 94WIP. Subscribe there. All ton of great content on the YouTube page. Go Birds, High Hopes, the Clap Your Hands podcast, some live stuff from WIP, some segments from WIP, interviews. It'll all be up there. Check out our YouTube page and click subscribe there. All right, so today I wanted to get into Eagles Cowboys, and obviously this week's been a big week, Dallas week, and all the great rivalry stories. Ray Dinninger had a great one yesterday on the morning show talking about, you know, back in Dick Vermeil's day and kind of the way he got that team ready to finally overtake Dallas. So it's a big week, and we've gone through all that kind of stuff. But now we have this particular game, and I wanted to dive into the X factors for this game. And let's not get this twisted. This game is a swing game for the entire season for the Eagles. There's a lot to go from here. If the Eagles win or lose, it doesn't mean this thing is definitely going to go in that particular direction. But it is a big swing game. You look at some of the numbers in terms of if they win this game versus they lose it, their chances to be the number one seed, their chances to win the division. I mean, the Eagles are minus 250 right now over at FanDuel to win the division. Cowboys at 2-1, play, you know, plus 200. If the Eagles win, they will be prohibitive, overwhelming favorites to win this division, even with five tough games ahead of them, including in Dallas later this season, because they'll have a significant lead on Dallas, you know, at the midway point of the season. If the Eagles don't win, I think Dallas will be maybe not the favorite, but, you know, it'll be pretty close to a coin flip, I think, by the time we get to Monday morning. That's how much is on the line here. Either really put a wedge, a big wedge between the Eagles and Cowboys in this division, or all of a sudden it feels like it's close and maybe the game in December will determine it. So I've got five X factors here. Tucker will join in a few minutes to give his thoughts on this game and what he thinks is going to determine. But I've got five X factors that are going to determine who wins this game Sunday and really what the Eagles need to do to beat the Cowboys, who are not great, but they're very good. And I actually think they're one, I guess they've had two ugly performances. One explainable in San Francisco, one not in Arizona, but it's overshadowed what they've done in their wins. I mean, they remind me a little bit of Buffalo, but in the NFC. They have a big knockout punch. Like the Cowboys are capable of losing to anybody. Obviously, they lost to Arizona. They're capable of looking bad. Buffalo does this all the time, the way they play. But they're also capable of delivering knockout punches, the way they took out the Rams last week, the way they took out the Patriots, the Giants, the Jets. I know the teams aren't very good, but the Eagles lost to the Jets. The Eagles almost lost to the Patriots. So, like, it not doesn't mean because you're really good, you beat up bad teams all the time. The Cowboys can. So it's a very interesting matchup. Eagles more consistent and just, you know, you could predict them week to week. But the Cowboys knockout punch is one of the best in the NFL. So five X factors that will determine this one. Number one, and it's been an X factor for the Eagles all year, and they've overcome it a lot. I don't think this is the week they overcome it. It's turnovers. So Eagles have turned the football over way too much this year. Jalen Hurts turned over way too much. Sloppiness, silly. I mean, just the kind of turnovers that normally will cost you games. They haven't yet, except the Jets game. They will if they do it against good teams. The Dallas is obviously a good enough team, but this is kind of the matchup where the other side, Dallas, is good at this. The Eagles are not very good at this. The Eagles don't take the ball away very much, especially through interceptions, only four this year, and they give it away a good amount. So Dallas has only lost seven turnovers this year. That's fifth best. Eagles have lost 13, have 13 turnovers. That's 23rd, right? So Dallas is top five in, you know, turnovers they've had. Eagles 23rd. The Cowboys have forced 13 turnovers, so they're top five in that. They've forced a top five amount. They've given away a bottom five amount. That's really good. The Eagles have forced 10 turnovers, so that's bottom half of the league. So the turnovers have been an issue for the Eagles all year. They haven't been for the Cowboys, and this is the one to watch out for, because every time we talk about Jalen Hurts, it's like, well, some of those have been tips. I mean, Swift ran the wrong route. Goddard had the ball popped out of his hand, and that is totally true and totally fair. I don't think all of Jalen Hurts' turnovers and his interceptions have been on him. That being said, there's a way we could do this probably a little bit smarter than just raw interception numbers. You know, Pro Football Focus tracks turnover-worthy plays where you've really made a mistake or you've put the ball in harm's way. It doesn't mean it actually is a turnover. I mean, it could be a tip ball. It could be caught by A.J. Brown because he's just so good. But it's a turnover-worthy play. So Dak Prescott, has the 27th most turnover-worthy plays. He really has to put the ball in harm's way a year after doing it a lot. He did it a lot last year. This year, not so much yet. Jalen Hurts, the 11th most turnover-worthy plays. He's put the ball in harm's way more than we're used to. And it's led to some interceptions, some he's gotten away with, but that's one to watch, the turnover situation. So far, the kind of the MO of these teams is the Eagles turn the ball over, don't get it back, and Dallas does a turnover, and they take the ball away. That, obviously, is a big key. All right, my second big one this week, and that's going to determine this, is continue to do what the Eagles have been doing all year, which is throw the ball over and over to A.J. Brown. So Dallas has actually gotten by without Trayvon Diggs. They have a young corner who has 3 touchdowns this year, which is ridiculous. Interception returns. He's scoring on defense. He's filled in, and he's done a nice job. I think they've gotten away with it. They almost replaced Diggs with another Diggs, which is like this high variance, you know, turnover machine kind of corner. So it's not like they are barren at corner. But here's the reality. Gilmore and what they have across the board at corner cannot match up with A.J. Brown. Yet, Dallas plays man coverage more than anybody else in the NFL. I mean, they let it happen. 47% of the time they're in man. No receiver in the NFL has gained more yards in man-to-man coverage than A.J. Brown. There's not a corner I've seen so far in the league this year. Maybe, you know, maybe Sauce Gardner, but obviously that game was a little bit different with all the turnovers, and he only stays on once. He actually didn't play in that game, excuse me. But only Sauce Gardner, I think, at his best, healthy, could cover A.J. Brown right now. That's how good he's been, and he kind of has the body to do it. But Dallas doesn't have those guys. So the way I view this is just keep throwing the ball to A.J. Brown. Just keep throwing the ball to A.J. Brown. Is there going to be a mistake at some point in there? Yeah, maybe. Maybe Gilmore picks one off. I wouldn't stop doing it, though. Just go to A.J. Brown. He is, along with Tyreek Hill, the most dominant wide receiver in the NFL right now. And good things happen. He has 432 yards against man this year. Think about how many receivers probably in the NFL right now barely have 432 yards for their season, or like that's their season. He has that just against man coverage. Throw the ball. Whenever Jalen Hurts sees one-on-one, he's just look over to A.J. Brown, nod to him and say, let's go. Whether it is a slant, whether it is a throw down the field, whether it's a back shoulder, whatever they want to do, throw the ball to A.J. Brown, because Dallas doesn't have the one-on-one guys that could stop him, but they're probably going to play one-on-one anyway. So number two is just keep throwing the ball to A.J. every time you see one-on-one coverage. The third one, and it's a really big one here, is obviously the pressure that Dallas can get up front. And can the Eagles' offensive line be better than it has in recent weeks? So this blew me away. Over the last 3 weeks, the Eagles have allowed more pressures than any team in the NFL. And I know in that, you know, the Jets were part of that. And so was Washington's front, a very good front. And they just traded away Young and Sweat, but they were there for that last game. And even Miami's front has some players with Phillips and the linebacker Long that was getting after it that night. So it's not like they've faced bums the last 3 weeks. But I can't remember a stretch in recent years, I guess 2020, when they all got, you know, the offensive line got banged up. But I can't remember a stretch in the Sirianni era, 21, 22, 23, where 3 weeks in a row I saw a nugget or a stat out there like that, that they had the most pressures allowed in the NFL. That's something. And I think part of this is Cam Jurgens. The drop off to Opet has been significant. You know, perhaps Lane Johnson off, you know, coming back very quickly from getting banged up against the Jets and then playing against Miami playing last week. Maybe he hasn't been quite himself out there. Dickerson has a lot more pressures this year than almost he did all of last year. He hasn't been quite as good in pass protection. Whatever it is, they got to get it cleaned up, because what we're watching right now, and we saw last week, is a Jalen Hurts that is not himself. He's not able to fully move the way we're accustomed to. So you just think about this matchup. You think about Micah Parsons and that array of pass rush talent they have around Micah, but it's obviously he's the guy. If they're pressuring Hurts at a high clip and he can't move, it's not going to go well. I mean, they have speed rushers. Micah Parsons is the speed rusher in the NFL. You know, Jalen, even if he's going to grit and bear it and move, he's not going to be able to run away at the state he's in right now from these guys, especially from Parsons. So, you know, those, pressure's coming, and Jalen can move out, get back to the line of scrimmage, throw it away, make a play, run for 4, run for 2, whatever he usually does. That might be a 3 or 4 or 5 yard loss on Sunday if they don't keep the defense, you know, honest there with the pressures. They have to keep Hurts cleaner, because, you know, that's what's way too many pressure the last couple weeks. All right, 2 more, and we'll get Tucker's thoughts on this game. So my last 2 keys to this one, And it's weird because I know they scored so many points last week, and they probably could have scored over 50 if not for the fumbles within the five-yard line. But they have to be more balanced this week. I don't think Dallas, you look at their passer rating allowed, their top five in the NFL, talked about the interceptions they create, the pass rush they can create, the Eagles' offensive line issues. I don't think this is the week to line up and throw the ball 40 times. I know they did it last week. I know Hurts is throwing it really well. I mentioned the AJ stuff. Obviously, they're going to throw the ball a lot. This is the Eagles. But I think they're playing into Dallas's hands if they line up and say, we're not going to run it much this week. We can't run it. We're struggling to run it. Let's just throw it 40 times. I don't think that's a recipe for success against this Cowboys team right now. And you think back to last year when the Eagles beat the Cowboys here in Philadelphia, they were balanced. They ran the football. They ran it right at Micah Parsons. I thought it neutralized him. It kind of took him out of his pass rush. So the Eagles have gone away from the run. It hasn't been efficient, but they've also gone away from it for the past month. This feels more like a week where they have to be balanced. And my final one, the final X factor of this game is, how are they covering CeeDee Lamb in the slot? CeeDee Lamb's having a really good season. I think he's fallen under the radar nationally. It's weird because he's on the Cowboys, because obviously, you know, we know what Justin Jefferson's hype was coming into the season. Tyreek Hill's having an all-time year. A.J. Brown having now what looks to be an all-time year. And then there's other receivers that pop up, you know, here and there that make big plays. But Lamb's had a good season. 12 catches last week. They put him in the slot a lot. I think almost half of his targets have come from in the slot. Roby didn't practice yesterday. You know, who's playing slot corner this week? That is a major question for the Eagles. You know, are they going back to the Sidney Brownwell, Josiah Scott? Could Bradbury move there? They're going to put CeeDee Lamb in the slot, and how the Eagles handle that is going to go a long way in determining who wins this football game. Tucker, this is a big one. I mean, I know the Eagles have bigger fish to fry than just the Cowboys, but this one really determines whether this division is effectively over or the Eagles are going to be in a dogfight to win the NFC East this year.
Yeah, so we kind of look ahead to the next six games. Winning this one might be the most important, right? Obviously, I think people want to get revenge on, you know, the Chiefs, and you want to beat up on the 49ers again after the whole offseason. But beating the Cowboys in this one really takes the pressure off, I think, for the next four or five. Or if you go, say, 3-2 instead of 4-1, you're not necessarily shooting yourself in the foot. And I think the biggest issue in this game comes down to turnovers. You look at the games the Cowboys have won big. Like the first 2 weeks of the season, they forced seven turnovers in those two blowout wins where they looked like probably the best team in the NFC at that point. Last week against the Rams, they forced a turnover. I think they had a kick return for a touchdown as well, or at least to set up points. And you kind of look at it, I think they're fourth in the NFL right now in turnovers forced. I mean, they've been very opportunistic, and you combine that, the fact that Jalen Hurts hasn't necessarily taken care of the ball as well as he did last year, and that's worrisome to me. Like, I don't think if the Eagles don't turn it over, they're guaranteed to win. But I do envision a scenario where if they do turn the ball over twice in the first half, they can let the Cowboys jump out to an early lead, and they can be playing from behind most of the afternoon. And, hey, when you play against Washington or some of these other teams, that's okay. But Dallas is talented enough where if they are spotted, you know, a 10-point lead in the second quarter, they can take advantage of it and they can run away, and the Eagles might not have a chance to come back in a situation like that. So the turnovers to me, I think, are the biggest worry heading into this game.
Yeah, they feel like it. I mean, that, and it's been all year, even when they win. The Eagles have – I saw a stat last week that when they're plus one, you know, when on the positive side, they almost never lose. Never lose under Sirianni and Hurts. And even when they're minus one, they have a pretty decent record. Minus two, minus three, minus four. Obviously, that was Jets game. That it's kind of ridiculous to think they'll win the game. But even minus one, they win. You know, or at least it's better than most teams when they're in the minus one category. They have to really turn it over to effectively lose. And I wish I could sit here and say I feel like the Eagles are going to play a clean game, but they really haven't played clean games. And it's been all sorts of ways, mostly through the passing game. Obviously, a couple, you know, some bits of fumbles here and there last week with Gainwell and then Swift. But that's it. And Tucker makes up a good point. That's how Dallas kind of delivers the knockout punch, because they take the football away, and they also score with it on defense, which, I mean, the kid they put in a corner for Diggs, he's got three touchdowns this season. I mean, they score when they take the football away. Look, there's a lot of X factors that go into this. The Eagles are home. They are favored. They have been the more consistent down-to-down team compared to the Cowboys, especially on offense. It's about doing the things smartly in this game. If the Eagles play smart football, they're going to get to 8-1 because Dallas will make a mistake or not be able to convert a big moment in the game. But if they make mistakes, I mean, we're going to have a race in the NFCs. It's going to be fun. Eagles, Cowboys, Sunday afternoon. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following WIP Daily. And look out for NFL Picks Pod coming up on Saturday as well. I'll give my 5 picks for the NFL for week number. I can't believe we're in the midway point of the NFL season already. Enjoy the rest of your day. It's Dallas week. We'll talk more about it coming up, of course, reacting next week on the midday show and, of course, WIP Daily. Thanks so much for listening and subscribing.